Welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is my arch enemy, the Ramsey Bolton of the podcast, Akiva Wienerker. Akiva, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing great. What am I supposed to answer?
You flayed me with scheduling.
I don't get it. What does that mean?
Ramsey Bolton flays people, so yeah, I call you Ramsey.
Like, how did I flay you with the scheduling?
Well, because you screwed me. You know, you caused me great pain and you inconvenienced me. I guess being flayed is worse than an inconvenience.
Yeah, probably. Who, Ramsey Bolton? What NFL team is he?
Would you like to guess?
Yeah, who does a lot of flaying? The Eagles.
Nah, he's the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, he has a lot in common with Vontaze Burfict. They're both insane people who like to cause harm to hunt other humans. They break the rules all the time. For a small period of time, they actually led the North, the Northern Division, of course, the Bolton family. But it was a very short time, and the rightful rulers, which is the Steelers and the Starks, quickly replaced them. So, Ramsey Bolton is the Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, that's a spoiler for a podcast that we will be doing, right?
No, we're not doing that.
We're not doing that podcast?
We're out of time.
Well, you said we should. And
You did 32 different teams as 32 different people or things from the Game of Thrones universe. I said we should, but we also don't have time. We got like 6 more team podcasts to do. We have a week 1 preview to do. We have a college football preview to do. We don't have time for that. If you want to do it on your own.
Yeah, I tweeted that out a couple of days ago. A lot of people have been saying you guys have to do a podcast on this. You have to discuss all 32. So the problem is, that pretty soon Game of Thrones will be, you know, in the back burner.
If you want to do it, why don't you do it with someone who knows Game of Thrones much better than me? And I don't mind.
But then it's not part of the 32 fans
so
family.
So should I practice like now and not be on this podcast? And then I won't be on
breakaway podcast. All right. Well, we're here to talk about something less interesting than Game of Thrones, and that's the Jacksonville Jaguars, the 26th ranked garbage Jacksonville Jaguars.
What if the Jaguars had like a dragon that breathed ice? Would they get a first down?
Well, then I'd be more. Yeah. Would he get a first down? Yeah, I think that'd be a rule violation. I mean, I don't know. Do you have anything to say about the Jaguars?
No, I mean, the Bortles-Henny stuff's embarrassing, but I'm sure our guest will get into it.
Yeah, all right, let's bring our guest on. So here to talk about the 26th-ranked Jaguars is Milin Mishra. Milin, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
So I feel like if we had done the Jaguars 3 weeks ago as one of the first teams, there would have been a lot more optimism from Jaguars fans than there is at this point as we wrap up the preseason schedule. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, that's pretty fair. I mean, before the preseason, we had a couple practices that were open to the public. And, I mean, it was the ESPN headline. I mean, as you know, Blake Bortles threw 5 picks. And, I mean, all offseason, we didn't do anything to address the QB position. I mean, we have Henny and Brandon Allen as our and Bortles as our 3 quarterbacks. But I mean, when Coughlin came in, I guess, like, I mean, we had heard that he was not a Bortles fan, and so we were all pretty happy because at least that meant we would have gotten some competition. But that wasn't the case. And before the preseason, I guess we did have hopes. I mean, that Bortles would be a lot better. I mean, he went to California. He was there for a long time. He worked on his mechanics. And everything we heard, at least from his side, was good. And then I guess when the lights came on, we had like a public scrimmage for season ticket holders on I think a Saturday in July, and that's where we basically that's where the whole world knew that Bortles threw 5 picks. And I mean, from there and the weeks that came after that, I mean, they didn't really sign anybody. And so I guess most informed Jags fans are pretty down about that. And when the preseason came, it didn't do anything to kind of help us out with how we felt about Bortles. And frankly, I mean, to be honest, we played worse than I guess I expected. And I mean, so right now, I guess Jags fans are really, they're on edge. They're pretty, I mean, I don't think I've met on Twitter yet. I don't think I've met a Jags fan who's completely optimistic about the season, which is pretty different from years past. So, yeah, I mean, the preseason really didn't go well for us. Hello.
Sorry, one second. Yeah. No, just get in as quickly as you can. We started already, but we'll do it out of order. Okay. Yeah, okay. All right, so restart your computer and whatever.
Okay.
All right, sorry about that. Sorry, that was Akiva calling me to say his computer was frozen.
No worries.
Sorry, I'll fix that. All right, so you talked about Coughlin coming in. You know, before, and again, this is before Bortles' preseason struggles started, I was very down on this team just because, first of all, Doug Marrone, this is a guy who, you know, he quit on his first team in Buffalo. I think he interviewed for the Jets job. He did not get that one. When the Jets turn you down, things are not going well for you. You know, he left the Bills because he thought he'd get a better job. 2 years later, he finally gets a job with Jacksonville. He's one of these hard-ass guys. He comes in and he's like, you know, no games in the locker room. We're going to tackle during, you know, preseason. And immediately guys started getting injured. Yeah. And, you know, Coughlin has sort of the same attitude with, you know, if you're 5 minutes early, you're late.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like sort of a lot of rah-rah bullshit. Like, I don't think this team's issue has been that they weren't being serious enough.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that because a lot of people that I've been talking to and I've heard from basically said that I guess the Doug Marrone hire was more of a reactionary hire to maybe the system, the culture that Gus Bradley had. I mean, Marrone and Coughlin are pretty much have been on the same page since day one. I mean, they both come from like Syracuse and they both are from the, cut from the same cloth. That's not a surprise. But yeah, the problem really wasn't, I mean, culture was definitely there. I mean, I would say, you know, the differences in the press conferences between Bradley and Marrone are pretty, I mean, severe. So, you know, for the there's a pretty funny video on Twitter that's going around for Jags fans. It shows the kind of the first press conference of Gus Bradley, and Gus Bradley saying, I mean, you know, we're not focused on winning. Our sole objective is to get better, and, you know, we're just trying to get better and compete every day. And when Doug Marrone came in, I think a reporter asked him, you know, will winning be, you know, a focus as part of this new culture? And I think you must have seen it. Doug Marrone kind of like lashed out, and then Coughlin jumped in, and Coughlin said, I mean, you know, what the hell, like, what the hell are we doing this for? Like, I'm trying to win lunch. So,
well, but to be fair, Gus Bradley said that winning was not going to be the focus, and he didn't win. I mean, he went 14-48. I think it's the worst winning percentage ever. He told you what he was going to do and not do, and then he, you know.
I mean, kind of going back to that, a culture change was needed, definitely, I would say so. But, I mean, I guess it's gotten to a point where at least, you know, it's kind of too much in a sense. I mean, we've had, they had like at one point, like 5 or 10, something like that, straight padded practices. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, it was illegal by the CBA, but I mean, we had heard reports that, you know, some players were complaining about it. And that
didn't, like, Fournette get injured like the first week.
Fournette, he got like some kind of mysterious foot injury. And, you know, my theory on that is that, they kind of want to treat him like they did, like the Cowboys treated Elliott last year in the preseason. They just kind of gave him a couple carries. He had 9 carries for 31 yards and a touchdown the first game. And after that, he had some mysterious foot injury. I've heard from, you know, some Twitter reports that it was like someone stepped on his toe. And I think it's just an excuse for Marrone and Coughlin to kind of hold him out and, you know, keep the injury kind of, the risk low, I guess. So, I mean, all accounts are he's gonna be ready week one. So, I mean, that's something that's, I guess, we're looking forward to. But yeah, I mean, after that first game, he hasn't gotten a lot of carries. He hasn't gotten any carries since then.
Well, speaking of injuries, Dante Fowler, you know, back after missing his whole rookie year. So you add him to the defense. You know, you've also signed Calais Campbell, AJ Bouye. So they've brought in a lot of big names to help this defense.
Yeah, and I mean that. I mean, at first glance, when you look on paper, Jaguars' defense looks great. I mean, but the problem is that, you know, in my opinion, the defense is too top heavy. A problem under Dave Caldwell has been our special teams and our depth. It's very poor. I mean, last year we were one of the worst special team units all around, and consistently we've had to deal with injuries. And when our depth comes in, our depth is very poor, and definitely I would say our team is really top heavy, especially defensively. We have almost no cornerback depth after Ramsey and Bouye. We have Colvin, who's, I mean, when he's healthy, he's a decent slot corner, but he hasn't played at all this preseason. So we don't really know who he is this year. So, I mean, cornerback depth is something that, I mean, it's something that, you know, we still need. And our defensive line didn't really get much of a push in any game, I would say, this preseason, which was really surprising because, I mean, we brought in Campbell, as you said. We've got Ngakoue. We've got Fowler, you know, Avery Jones. I guess the one mistake that we did on the D-line was cut Roy Miller. I felt like maybe he could have, you know, added some strength to our run defense. And, yeah, I mean, we've been gashed by McCaffrey and Carolina's running offense. We were gashed by the Bucks. I mean, our defense has not played as well as I expected, especially on paper. When you look at how, you know, top heavy this defense is, it kind of makes sense, I would say.
Yeah, especially, I mean, last year, the defense's DVR ranking was 13. So
yeah.
Defense was not this team's problem. And they didn't really lose anybody. They've added a few pieces. But, I mean, there's no big losses from last season, right?
Right. I mean, we cut a lot of the old veteran leadership. We cut Cindric Marks. We cut Roy Miller. So we lost, like, two very important kind of locker room leaders in that sense. And that kind of was, like, the catalyst for the whole culture change thing. But, yeah, it's very surprising. I guess the one move they did that I really didn't agree with at all was retaining Todd Wash. And you mentioned that the defense was 13th. I think the overall defense in terms of yards per game was 6th. And that was kind of a misleading stat, since a lot of the times, so Bortles would turn it over and they'd have a short field. So that was a little bit misleading, I would say. And definitely, I mean, we definitely had work to do on the defense. But I mean, overall, I would say it's very disappointing seeing, you know, the defense performance in the preseason. And I mean, coupled with the offense, I mean, how poor we are on offense, I don't, you know, I'm not very optimistic about the Jags this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the problem is that, you know, Blake Bortles is we've seen what he is now, and yeah. when you're trotting out Chad Henne as a preseason threat, it's hard to give your fans a lot of confidence. Even that woman who you know talks about the Jags stealing the show, I don't know how excited she is.
Mean, the Jaguars not you know doing anything in the quarterback position, in my opinion, was just gross negligence. I mean, you know, it's not even just that they didn't you know. Bring in Kaepernick. It's not just about him. They didn't bring in anyone. They didn't trade or they didn't sign anyone off the market. They didn't draft anyone. I mean, it was just gross negligence on their part. And I'm frankly, you know, stunned at, you know, the supposed culture change that was supposed to come in and everyone was supposed to be held accountable. And there was this kind of like, QB competition, you know, this kind of faux battle between Henne and Bortles. And, you know, I mean, it just looks horrible on, you know, the team's part. I mean, the optics is so... you know, poor here. Just, you know, you open up the QB competition for, you know, a week and a half, and then you declare Bortles the winner. And, I mean, it's clear that he's not the option in the future. So you've got like a $19 million, you know, time bomb that could go off at any time. And, I mean, we're about to face the Texans week one. I mean, who they're recovering from Hurricane Harvey. They're amped up. They're ready to go. You know, J.J. Watt, Merciless, Clowney, they're coming in. I mean, and our O-line isn't exactly, you know, stuff of gods. I mean, our O-line's, you know, like a turnstile, especially at the left guard position. And I mean, for us to face the Texans week one, and they're all amped up and emotional, and I mean, we haven't even figured out who our left guard is, and we're starting a rookie at left tackle. I mean, I don't understand how, you know, the Jaguars could take this risk with Bortles and his $19 million, you know, option.
So, just to be clear, so if he gets injured, then he can opt in basically for next year and then they get screwed.
So what happens is if he can't pass a physical next year at the start of the league year, then yeah, effectively he's guaranteed that money, you know, for that 50.
So would you rather them sit him against the good defenses like the Texans?
Honestly, I would have preferred them to bring in someone new. But yeah, I mean,
it's sort of like what Washington dealt with a couple of years ago with RG3, basically.
Yeah, basically. And I'd rather them sit Bortles, you know, bench him for the entire year and start Henne or start Allen or start someone. Because I mean, with the kind of offense they run with a run game, you know, a good defense, you know, time possession. I mean, Henne is clearly more suited to that style of play, I would say, than Bortles. I mean, I think the one reason that Marone mentioned for picking Bortles over Henne was his mobility and his, you know, improvisational skills. Which I mean makes sense given, you know, this poor offensive line. But I mean, you know, to not have a solution at the QB position or, you know, at the O-line, it's just poor, you know, roster construction by both Caldwell and Coughlin.
I mean, how long do you think Coughlin's in it? Because, you know, he's kind of an old man. It's
I really don't know. I mean, a lot of fans joke that, you know, by week five, he'll be coaching on the sidelines and, you know, he'll just be overstepping Marone.
Well, at least it's warm there, so we won't have to see his, like, gross frozen ears like in New York.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't know, you know, what his plan is or what their plan is with, you know, this power division between Caldwell and Coughlin. And I mean, I don't really know, you know, a lot of people joke on Twitter. I think Pete Prisco mentions, you know, by week four or week five, we'll have Coughlin in the, you know, out of the booth and into the, and on the sidelines. So, I mean, let's see. I'm interested to see how this, like, Marone, Coughlin, Caldwell kind of structure works out.
I mean, I don't know how old you are, Millen. Did you remember the first Coughlin experience in Jacksonville? Like 97 when Brunell led them, you know, as an upstart team to the AFC Championship?
I'm not that old. I was born in 99, but I don't you know, remember that.
Oh, wow. I think you are probably our youngest guest ever then.
Oh, wow. I mean, yeah, it's – I remember reading all about it. I mean, you know, seeing, you know, clips on YouTube of those kind of, you know, teams and the 99 championship game and you know, the salary cap hell that we were in after that. But yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, when Khan decided to bring Coughlin aboard, when the fans, you know, started buying into Coughlin's message, I guess, they were just kind of looking back to those, like, glory days and they just wanted something to cheer for. I mean, just something new after, you know, the past, you know, 10 years of misery since we've missed since we made this 07 playoffs.
All right. Well, Millen, you're too young to gamble then, but we're going to do this anyways. The Jaguars over under is at 7. You sound, pretty negative right now and pessimistic. So would you go over or under on that 7?
Honestly, I would take the under just because, you know, at the QB position, we don't know what's going on. And we don't really know this defense, how they're going to come out week one, especially with Boye and Ramsey not playing as much in the preseason as we thought they would have. And there's a lot of injuries along the D-line and at the D-line, along the whole defense. So, I mean, let's see. I would definitely take the under, though. I mean, the highest I've heard anyone project the Jaguars is probably 8 wins. And from people that, you know, I know and people that I talk to, people are expecting mostly somewhere around, you know, 4 to 6 games, I would say.
Ooh, I wish I would have heard this earlier today because I picked the Jaguars in my wins pool. I had the 26th pick, so it was either the Jaguars or the Bills at that point. And you know, the saving grace for the Jaguars is that, you know, you're still in that crappy division where, you know, 9 games max seems to win it every year. Sure. And I'm looking at the Jaguars' schedule. It's really not, you know, at Houston week one, and then you have to go at Pittsburgh in October. And then you play Seattle in December. But those are the only 3 games on the schedule that look like really tough games. I mean, there's nothing else on the schedule that isn't a winnable game.
Right, and I was thinking about that earlier, and it was funny to me. I was thinking about it. This division is wide open. I mean, Tennessee clearly has, you know, the best QB situation in the division. But, I mean, the whole division is dealing with, you know, all these injuries. You know, the Colts are missing Luck, and they're you know, we don't know about Luck, and Vontae Davis now has a groin injury, and I mean, we're playing the Texans week one. I mean, they're, you know, dealing with Harvey right now, and you know, they're not moving the game from Houston. And I mean, they're starting Savage, who's just a career backup in my opinion. So I mean, the division is definitely there for the taking, and I mean, the fate of this team rests on Bortles' you know, shoulders. If he can just limit turnovers, if he can get, you know, the occasional deep throw. You know, just 2 deep throws a game. If he can hit those 2 deep throws, I mean, I think we'll be fine. But yeah, I mean, with the way, you know, Jags fans have been abused over the past, you know, 5 years, I think a lot of us are kind of in a wait and see approach. We've been declared, like, you know, back-to-back off-season champions. It's kind of like, you know, now we're tired of being let down. We want to, you know, we're kind of in like a wait and see approach, I would say.
Yeah, it really is incredible because you've been in that bad division for the last 5 or 6 years, but yet your win totals have been, you know, going backwards 3-5, 3-4, 2-5. So 5 games is the most that this team has won this entire decade, which is really pretty incredible. So how that over-under was set at 7, I have no idea.
I have no idea. It's honestly stunning. I mean, the division is wide open, and for the Jaguars not to take advantage of, you know, the past couple of years where, you know, the QB play for the, you know, across the board for the AFC South has been very poor. And I mean, for us not to be able to take advantage of this window, I mean, with the Titans coming up, as I would say, probably the number one long-term threat to the AFC South, I mean, it's kind of disappointing to see that we wasted those years in the past. But I mean, if we can just fix, you know, a couple positions here and there, and if we can just get some depth, then maybe we have a shot. But I mean, most, you know, most if not all Jags fans would definitely tell you to bet the under on that 7-win total. Yeah.
All right, Millen. Well, you know, thanks for joining us on the podcast today, our youngest guest ever. Okay. And when you're not in school, I would assume you're writing for Big Cat Country, right?
Yeah, I'm writing for Big Cat Country. I'm also writing for the Vanderbilt Hustler. So I just cover the Commodores, their sports section. And yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun. I mean, thank you guys for having me. I think this is the first podcast that I've done, so it was really cool to be able to do this, and it was a lot of fun.
All right. Well, thanks very much, Millen, and good luck to the Jaguars this year. In your battle with the Jets, perhaps, for the top draft pick.
I mean, we don't even win those anyway. We've never had the top draft pick either, so we'll see. But
wait, hold on. Even the year that they went 2-14, let me see. That was 2012.
Yeah, we drafted Jokel that year, I think, with the second overall pick. So we've never had the first overall pick in our franchise's history, so we can't even lose correctly.
All right, well, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, Akiva, so we can catch Millind on Twitter at MarHSim. That's MARHSIM. And we'll be following him to see his depressed tweets about the crappy Jaguars this year as they battle with your Jets for the number one pick.
Oh, they're not battling with the Jets for the number one pick. We are in another league when it comes to the number one.
All right, Akiva, we'll be back tomorrow with another team.
Bye.